make some kind of intro, but right now, fuck it. We're just jumping right into it.
Oh, you're just throwing me right into it. I don't know what to do.
We're just getting right into it. Welcome to Live Fire Media Show. This is episode number 16. We talk about guns, gear, games, movies, and pretty much anything that drives and pushes us forward. Your host and I are the always entertaining and sometimes FUD, Hunter Elliott of Range Hot. Woo! You like that part.
Yeah, well.
And I'm Dave Kawaka, a.k.a. High Point Dave. Join us to hang out for a few as we ramble on about everything, anything.
I'm having, thank you for asking, this evening I will be in imbibing in a little bit of Old Forester States.
Oh, Jesus. I'm drinking, well, you can't see it now, Warped Wing local brew, but with the koozie of my buddy's band, Big Mother.
Checked out the glass that Defender Ammo sent me.
Well, let's see.
It's got a
bullet. Oh, the bullet. Yeah, you know, my wife got me one of those, and I was drinking sidecars out of it, and it didn't take long, and then it was started leaking. The bullet in the glass, like, started leaking.
Really? I've had this for about a year now, and I don't really – the bullet is what I measure to.
Nice. Nice. Instead of a finger, two fingers to the bullet. Mm-hmm. I like that. That's cool.
Like two fingers.
Yeah.
So a really low pour for a low life.
I wouldn't say that. That's not nice to yourself, man.
Come it's on. Okay. I've come to terms with it.
Well, I got a lot of crap, a lot of shit I want to touch on from, actually, I got a whole bunch of movie shit I want to talk about, too.
Cool.
But before we even do that, like, what's new with you, man?
Okay, so I got this fucking really cool gun in to review.
Nice lead into, okay. Uh-huh. What you got?
So I'm going to build up to it a little bit. It is a little, everybody's doing it, okay? Everybody's building one of these, but I feel like this one stands out. So you're just going to have to roll with me, all right, Dave?
I'm rolling, pal. I'm rolling.
Okay. Are you ready for the logo?
Yeah, sure.
Look at that.
Oh, what a shocker.
It's a High Point AR-15.
It's the HP 15.
I said High Point AR-15.
I know. I'm just saying the model. It's the HP 15.
Model HP A-15, serial number FUCKABE. I don't know. That's custom, I guess. So I'm going to go over the features really quick.
Sure, go for it.
Just a few of them. Look at there. I know that my lighting is poor, as you mentioned, but we do got a full length free float aluminum handguard. Got some pick rail, make the FUDs happy. Got some M-lock. You know, it's all mil spec. You probably all know this shit. Collapsible Magpul stock. Don't get carried away now. I've had this out a handful of times now, and I got less than 100 rounds to it so far. Most all of them with a can on it. Guns run great. But
you see, okay, hold on. You said running a can on it. Did you change the muzzle device out, or were you running something gate lock, or what are you doing?
I'm using the BNT Infinity BNT Rotex X, Rotex 10.
Right.
The QDs through the birdcage.
Right. So it is a gate lock, is that correct?
I don't know what the technology is called. Okay. Maybe. I've just always called it the Rotex 10.
Okay.
But you know, everybody and their uncle builds an AR.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, truthfully.
Yeah, no, for real. Like, seriously, everybody does.
But what's the MSRP going to be on this? Do you know?
The plan's supposed to be like sub 500.
Really?
I'm guessing that with the rifle, it's probably like right at 499, which is technically sub 500. So,
yeah.
Whatever.
So street price is going to be what? 550 or 450?
Sure. I'll be honest. I'm not one. I don't know real well. Like when we set an MSRP on something, what the street price, I mean, yes, it's always less.
Right.
But I don't know. Sure. 450 probably.
Let's call it.
I don't know.
450, 475.
Sure.
Something that I think is cool is there is of AR-15s that are cheap.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's worth going through the names, but no. we can say, Dave, that High Point has got a pretty good reputation for a number of things. being reliable, right? You know, being American made, having a lifetime warranty. So, one would hope that what High Point puts into their carbines and handguns is carried over to their AR-15.
Right.
Is that reasonable to assume?
Yeah.
Okay, so if someone is out there and they're hunting for an inexpensive rifle, and you've got a lot of them out there that maybe don't have a great reputation, at least you know that if you buy this High Point AR, it's backed by the High Point warranty, by the High Point name. So in the off chance you get a lemon or something,
it's covered.
It's covered.
Yeah.
All right. And I think that there's a lot to be said for that, man, truthfully, for those out there looking for, you know, looking for the inexpensive rifle.
Well, you know, it's funny. I think a lot more outfits offer lifetime or even limited lifetime, you know, warranties in their guns. And it sounds fine and dandy and all, but the reality, I think, in my opinion, where it differs is, okay, fine. So you offer a limited lifetime warranty on something. You literally have a genuine defect. How long, how much hassle is it to get that taken care of? I think that's the bigger thing people don't want to talk about. Like, at High Point, if you got something that's wrong, you send it in, they turn it around pretty damn fast.
Yeah, a lot of times send you a spare mag for your trouble, you know, or something.
Yeah, I mean.
I know all the High Points I've ever gotten, somebody has just sprayed the box with a wonderful fragrance, man. It's like a very perfumey, just beautiful.
Okay, I don't know what the hell you're talking about with that.
That wafts into the room and you're like.
If you're talking machine shop oil smell, sure, I can get that.
Okay, that might be it.
That's probably what it is. Ain't no fragrance to spray on that shit.
Okay. It'll be our little secret.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, that's kind of what I wanted to point out with this is you've got High Point is a known quantity.
Yeah.
And it is mil-spec. So it's not fine. So it's not like High Point was like, okay, it ain't like Kimber did and go, you know what, we're smarter than John Browning. We're gonna build this gun better, and now it doesn't work. I'm assuming if it's mil-spec, it's got to be built to Eugene Stoner specs.
Right.
And it's a machine. So if it's built correctly as a machine, it has to work. You know, it's right? I mean, that's the reason.
Yeah, no, that's why I laugh when you people like roll their eyes. When you say something's mil-spec, and they're like, oh, it's mil-spec. I'm like, well, we touched on this, I think, the last time or two. AR-10s. There is no mil-spec for AR-10s. That's why AR-10s are all over the damn place. I mean, yeah, I think it's down to, what, two or three major variants, I think, now.
But manufacturers still aren't beholden to that.
They can do whatever the hell they want. I'm going to do it this way, you know. So, yeah, mil-spec is a bloody good thing. It doesn't mean it's cheap. I mean, yes, when you think what is mil-spec being supplied to the government, sure, is the lowest bidder. But that has nothing to do with what the spec is. This is what it's got to be. So if you want to build your ship better, like Barnes, you know, build your ship better, cool. Build it better, great. But in the end of the day, even Barnes' gun, yes, he's not running a mil-spec barrel nut and handguard.
Right.
He's running something that's heavier duty. But could you change his out and go to mil-spec one? Absolutely you can, because it's still built on a mil-spec platform.
Right.
You know, whether you use billet uppers and lowers or they're you know, forged, it doesn't matter. If it's mil-spec, it's fucking mil-spec. You know, and I think that's a good thing.
And I know you got a lot to unpack, but I'm going to glaze over this. I got a Century Arms RAS 47.
Oh, yeah.
And
internet loves to hate on that thing.
Everybody, now I bought
it. I say internet, everybody said the internet loves to hate on it.
Yeah. And I got it from Century Arms. I can't tell you how many years ago it was.
Right.
And everybody's like, you know, it's a piece of shit. It ain't going to run. They use this, and this. So I reached out to my contact at Century, and I'm like, hey, man, you know, what's the skinny on this rifle? They say, look, it's built to the same specifications as an AK it's supposed to be built to. So I took it to – matter of fact, I went to Andrew.
See, I thought you went to Barnes, yeah.
I did. I went to Andrew, and I'm like, hey, man, you know, this is a cash trunnion. Tell me about this. You know, and Andrew's like, well, here's the deal. The material it's made out of, it's not as important as the testing that is done to that material.
Right.
It doesn't matter, truthfully, what technology you use to get to your spec. as long as you make your spec.
Right.
You know, and then he says something like, if they made the trunnion out of pickles, but it will hold up to the testing.
Right. What fucking difference does it make?
It doesn't matter. So I think that a lot of people, you know, the internet is full of keyboard warriors, and a lot of people really want to make themselves like out to be an expert.
Yes.
I see a lot on YouTube. Yeah, and it, you know, people commenting negatively on, you know, like when Chad's little girl is shooting my 4570, and she's, you know, she's 17 years old and she weighs almost 100 pounds.
Right.
And she's got to rest the rifle and she has to grab the lever and work it with her body.
Right.
No, you know, it's like, teach that girl how to shoot.
Yeah. How ignorant can you be?
You know, and I'm like, dude, she's 17, 18 years old and weighs 100 pounds.
Yeah.
It's so dumb. Right. And but it makes people feel like they're a little better. So they can jump online and go, well, it's a high point AR, so you know it's going to suck. Even if it's mil-spec, it's going to suck.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a minute. That makes no sense whatsoever.
But they got to hate. They're not happy unless they're hating. That's fine. Fuck them. It's cool. But
they're talking about it. Anyway.
They're talking about us. That's right.
So how long? Okay, just a couple real quick questions while I got you.
Oh, God.
How long ago did High Point begin to develop this?
Oh, dude, it's been in the works for a while.
Like a couple years?
Yeah, it's a couple-year idea. Like, we talked about it several years even before that. I was certainly one pushing for it, saying, we should make an AR. Yeah, and the market's full of them. I was like, but you know what? Our brand name is a thing. It is a true thing that is unanimous with it. Well, besides the internet haters, because, you know, piss on them. Other people that, you know, look, you're one of my friends. They'll be like, oh, yeah, you got Sky. Fuck Sky. You know, love the High Points. Yeah, the capacity isn't so hot anymore. But like, but the guns work and they're accurate. So there is a certain reputation that I think the name does carry. That was like, screw it. We should make a High Point AR for that because our fans are going to buy it. Haters are going to try it, you know. And then the people in between, they're just going to see it's another AR. But they're like, oh, wait, maybe they do know of High Point. Oh, my first gun was a High Point. Should they do ARs now? So, yeah, it's been an idea swinging up and down for a while, for quite a while.
Now, let me ask you this. Are they readily available now?
No.
How long before somebody could get one? Now, this is – I know this is going to publish, so this
well,
is –
Well, yeah, I said, but time – I mean, we're recording this middle of June, and I think we're expecting the first shipment to go out, like, end of June.
So a few weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. Man, how do you perceive the reception of this being introduced to the market? Do you think it's you're not going to sell shit? You're not going to be able to make them fast enough? Somewhere in between?
Somewhere in between.
Fucking internet and break the gun forms a little bit?
No, somewhere in between. I think it's going to take off pretty good initially. A lot of people are going to buy it. It's like I just said, haters are going to buy it. You know, fans of us are going to buy it. You know, and people in between just like, I'm going to try it out because you know what? They're trying something different.
If it's $450, $475.
Right.
And yeah,
I think a lot will try it out. I think also at the same time, I do think it's going to plateau pretty quick.
Right.
Which is fine. That's kind of half expected. We'll do some different shit, you know, maybe bring out some different models or different colors. Like, God, people are really seriously begging us for the $100 bill, you know, dip.
Woo. I mean, you can do it, I guess.
I mean, that's one of those things. Like, if we do it, I would strongly recommend we do like very, very small controlled runs because last thing you want to have is like sitting on, you know, several hundred, you know, these things and they don't move.
But it's good that High Point is a company that is a reputable company, but maybe doesn't always take itself so seriously.
Yeah.
You know, I think that that's a lot of the appeal. The cost and the reliability, I think, and the warranty is the appeal. Yeah. But, you know, if you've got a company that will put a fucking online voting, what do you want us to name our next gun?
Yeah, that's not going to happen again.
Cannon wins. Y'all go full bore. Okay, Geek Cannon.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, the AR is a big step, too, in the fact, one, like we've talked before, how, yes, the whole point of the AR is keeping you in the High Point ecosystem. If you've bought one of our guns, whether it's a PCC or a 9mm handgun, whatever, you want to upgrade to something else, we're giving you something to upgrade into. But also with that, this base model is its price. It's going to be fairly affordable. doesn't mean that every single model, like we start doing hydrogen ones, that's a whole lot more time. That's more money put into it. Don't expect a hydrogen gun to come out and still be a sub $500 gun. It's just not going to happen. I'm not saying it'll shoot up to be a $1,500 gun, but don't like look to think that these are always going to be, you know, lower tier price to maybe mid tier. You know, they could go up higher. It depends on what we do. It depends on what people want.
You know? This is the base model. You know, however, Dave, at $450, $475, if you bought this and you're like, you know what, I want to change, it's a mil-spec rifle.
Right.
You could absolutely do it from this.
Yep.
However, with that said, I don't think it would make any sense at all to change the barrel or the handguard system.
No, all you need is throwing some sights, honestly.
You know,
I mean, personally, I'd throw on an optic, sling, a light, and some kind of vertical forward grip. That's just my style.
Yeah, for sure.
But all it truly needs is just sights, whether the irons or a glass of some kind. I don't care. Sights. That's it. It's good to go.
All right. Well, I'm excited. I mean, I've just dipped my toe into it. I'm gonna kind of catalog my experiences as I go with it. Maybe every 100 rounds, I'm gonna do a video update on range shot. So I'll keep you posted, but. You know, I'm just outside 100 rounds so far. Now, all those have been shot at 30 yards.
Right.
You know, I'm just, before I take it out and shoot accurate, I want to see if the fucking thing works. And so far, I've had zero malfunctions. You know, 30 yards with a Meprolite M22, you know, we're banging a baseball size target, you know, just offhand, just playing with it. So anyway, I kind of wanted to get out in front before we get started because I'm pretty damn excited about High Point having an AR, and I like the fact that it runs because I can't wait to take it to a fucking class and rub it in somebody's face that is running a damn Knight's armament or some bullshit.
Well, I need to get the tactical response class time frame when we go to take their fighting rifle, get that secured in, well, and let you know when that's happening. So you can bring that one. And
then
obviously I'm going to run one. I'm going to try and get Tony Simon, try to get him outfitted with one. And tell a couple of the people that have already told me they're interested in going to the class as well, too, that want to tag along with us and basically fill up this class full of retards and now, have a good time running High Points.
I've got a guy too, a buddy of mine that I know through my buddy, Jamie, who has been to Tactical Response and taken some classes and wants to go back.
Okay.
So if let me know when you're putting this together.
No, I will.
And I'll reach out to him and see maybe if he wants to go.
Right. Well, like I said, we gotta get the guns out first because I only have one for myself to play with right now. It's only the rider samples. So that quick video you saw me post up.
Yeah.
That was a rider sample I took out just to blast with it real quick.
Oh, you don't even have one?
No. No, they're very rare at this point right now, man.
Well, I'll tell you, I appreciate you looking out for me, man. I mean, I realize there's bigger names out there that have them, and I realize that the one I got was probably deserved by a bigger name. But I'm very thankful
for you.
Well, I know, man, but I appreciate the fact that you know, you still look after the little guy like you always have.
It's a matter of fact that you still always show us the respect that the brand itself deserves. You know, there's too many guys that will say, yeah, it's a High Point. I wouldn't buy it, but it works. It's like, what the fuck? How did you just say, I wouldn't buy it, but yeah, it did everything you asked it to do? I can't stand it when guys do that. And there are plenty of them out there. I'm not going to call any names out, but there's plenty that do it. And those guys, they're usually like my D-list tier people to send to. Whether they have a huge following or not, I don't care. If they're not actually show respect, I mean, they don't have to like it, you know. You don't have to like the gun, but if it does everything you ask, how can you then give it a shitty review?
Right. I mean, you know,
or a bad final closing word. You know what I mean?
Oh, here comes your little girl.
What's that? Okay. They still fit? Do they still fit?
Yeah, they're human.
Well, that's good.
All right. Can I say hi?
Say hi.
Hi.
Hey, sugar.
All right, get out of here, you.
She's so cute. You got her mama's looks. We know that, right?
You will.
Okay, Dave. I mean, you're smoking hot, too. Is that what you wanted to hear?
Yeah, it's more like it. How you doing? How you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing?
Getting better by the bottle full.
Oh, Jesus. Easy there, killer. Easy.
But yeah, man, I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful to be included because I have no illusions, man. When I do a high point review, I probably benefit more than y'all do. Uh-oh. Here she comes.
Eva, I can't hear. When I have headphones, I can't hear. What you saying?
How many minutes should I set up the bag of popcorn for me and mommy?
Just press the popcorn button.
Okay.
Bless her heart. How old is she now?
Six.
Damn, she's
getting six, around. Six and a half, actually. So.
Wow. Yeah. Bless her heart. She's cute as a damn, cute as a button, man. Is that a mole clip?
No, this is a Safariland ELS clip. So their equipment mounting system. I run their QLS setups for my holsters.
All right.
So I have one belt and I could just pull the holster off, change holsters. Well, after taking the student of the gun class at Tactical Response, we did a drill. We were laying flat on our backs, shooting up in between our legs. I like brought our knees up, you know, or shooting between our knees. And literally, it was wild as shit. As I'm laying there, being extremely uncomfortable, I remembered a video from James Yeager, Tactical Response, saying, don't put your med kit, don't put your dump pouch, don't put magazine pouches at the small of your back. Because if you get knocked down to some degree and you have that, you know, anything of mass there, you fall flat on your back, you're going to feel it and you could seriously jack yourself up.
Okay.
And as I'm laying there the whole time, you know, instead of being flat, Hunter was like this, look at me. My pelvis was like that. I was kicking up because that is my med kit. It was in the small of my back. I was like, do what?
We call that thrusting.
Okay. Well, I wasn't thrusting. I was thrusted.
Well, at one point you did thrust once. So.
Okay, sure. But so literally I'm on the range shooting and that thought hit me. I'm like, I got to get rid of that shit. That's beyond uncomfortable. And my belt though, my battle belt rig right behind my holster, I have a double zippered Velcro pouch that I basically is what I hold my, 38 special 357 rounds in for the lever action.
Okay.
So, you know, come off the lever action, I can reach down in there, pull a couple shells out, load it, you know, get it back in action. And I was like, okay, I love the fact my battle belt like can do everything. It's got AR pouches. It's got loose pouches for either shotgun shells or 357. It's like, but this doesn't work because I can't lay flat on my back. It's like impossible. I was like, screw it. I'm gonna pull that thing off, move it to another belt. I have a couple different belts. And I throw out my old Safariland single stack rig, which the Safariland belt's one of those that's got holes all the way through the whole thing, all the way around for mounting equipment to. And I was like, okay, well, this thing is built for single stack or limited 10. I'm like, I barely shoot that shit anymore unless I go back to my 1911. So it's like, man, I could buy a bunch of these things. It's like the belt mounting clip, the interface, and then this is for like the mag holster. I was like, I don't want to buy this shit. I got a 3D printer. I can find files to print it.
Oh, are you printing that?
Yeah, these are all printed.
Look at you go.
Like printing this thing is easy. The base. The forks has taken quite a bit of trial and error, but I've got, I don't know, like 10 of them printed up now. And they seem pretty solid and sturdy for pushing into here and clicking in.
Wow.
So now, yeah, basically I'm going to take my old limited 10 mag, see if I've got like my old mag pouches, you know, single stack 1911 pouch. Take the belt loops off and I'll mount up one of these forks instead of it and it'll just click right in. So it makes that older belt a little more modular so I can change out to different mag pouches and still run like the lever action with it. Whereas my primary battle belt will just be like AR specific or, you know, mag fed specific, you know, guns. But yeah, I've been printing these things for like a fucking week now, it feels like.
Wow. It's cool, man.
I mean, I had a bunch that failed miserably from print orientations. And I've got a bunch of guys that I was talking with there to give me a, you know, tips on how like try printing it this way versus printing it this way versus printing it flat. And everything's turned out well, but I definitely found one ways came out better than the other one. But looking at it, is it a little rough around the edges compared to buying an actual injection mold one from Safariland? Sure. But those things are kind of expensive. They add up. And dude, I've got like, I think there's 10 of them sitting here. Print them out of a couple of days. So what it cost me was time.
Right.
So what? so what? Yeah, and the material was like nothing.
Right.
So it's like, why not? You so go. now I'm just waiting on screws for these things to mount to the actual equipment. Yeah, and start getting it all set up. So that's been my latest like project, besides house projects. So, yeah.
I had a good house project. Let me find my phone. So this past weekend, Thursday, Friday, we dug out a pond.
Okay.
Made it a little deeper.
Okay.
Cleaned out.
This was an existing pond. Okay.
Yeah, made it deeper. Cleaned out around it. Like, that's me sitting on my excavator. Let's see if it'll. And it was a muddy mess.
Nice.
So I decided to wear shorts because it was hot as fish grease.
Oh, this is what you were telling me earlier. Okay.
This is my right leg.
Hang on, let's see. Ooh, that looks a little uncomfortable.
Second degree burn. And I was so confused because I was like, I was under, you know, it's got a canopy on it, a metal canopy.
Right.
And Candy's like, I kept trying to tell you need a sunscreen because you're getting a little bit of sun coming in, but I was sitting at the water. It's reflecting off the water.
Yeah, you got water baby.
It tore my legs up. It burnt up. Yesterday is when it finally stopped. I've been slathering with aloe, and I've been getting Candy to do it. That is not a fucking awful deal. And yesterday, what's today? Wednesday, Monday's when the pain kind of started easing out. Yeah, it was woo.
Oh my god. Yeah, man, that's just for real. Like I bought some of the UV long sleeve UV shirts from a Camerado. Somebody Sean from We Like Shooting. He has his own camo brand. Which if I was thinking about it now, I'll put in the descriptions later. But I have a code that you can get a percentage off on Camerado.
Oh, nice.
But I have a couple of his sunshade like UV shirts. Now they have a hood too. So like when we were building our awning, I was in shorts, but I threw that thing on with the hood, and never got too hot at all.
Yeah,
long sleeves. So like it does keep you cool, but also I wasn't getting burnt.
That's the trick. That is the trick. Okay, so I got everything I wanted to talk about. Now you had mentioned about some movies, and I love movies. As a matter of fact, while you're writing, we talked earlier today about macro tube extensions.
Yes, I ordered one.
Did you?
I did. Yeah. Oh. Like, as soon as we hung up, I ordered that one that I found on Amazon for like $30.
So the guy that I bought them from was a cinematographer from Hollywood.
Okay.
And we stood in the parking lot and talked for about an hour about movies. I shot this
at
Andrews, man. I don't know. You probably.
Man. Hold on. Just talk about it. Let me pull it up and I'll share on the screen so anybody ever watches it, they can see it. Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I mean,
shut up. Just describe it and talk about it. And as I pull it up.
I'm sorry.
What's your new account with that?
Fade Black.
There it is. Pull it right away. Look, I put fade and it popped up right away. Ain't that cool?
Man, you're cooler than all get out.
Well, that wasn't actually yours, but there's yours.
That was a name that I used to run under back in the early 2000s when we were doing some photography and videography. Hmm. So I've revived it. But I'm enjoying the macro stuff, man. It's a whole other world of photography. You'll see when you get them, you start messing with it, you'll be like, it's interesting. It'll really make your,
there we go.
It'll really make your mind.
Bam. More, there we go.
More creative. That's a dial, man. That's a small, that dial is probably maybe, you know, I don't know if you, about yay big around.
Couple inches.
It's a tiny little dial.
Yeah. Talk in description since this is also an audio podcast there.
Goober. Oh, all right. So it's probably like 3 inches in diameter. And it's a dial on a really old manual like lathe that Andrew's got. I thought it was kind of cool, man. You know, something like that. That cool flow. And I don't know. I'm enjoying it. That's from the Oakland.
There you go. That's, I want to go to that one.
That's the old gaze that he had on some damn piece of equipment that has been, I mean, and look, that's not a lot of editing. I mean, it's a little bit, but it was a really old, just some old piece of equipment that he's got, and it met, and that measured like run out.
That's cool.
You know, and I was like, I like old rusty shit anyway.
Right. So. It's funny. There's a gravel pit, not far from where I am. That's been shut down for years and years and years. I looked up the other company that owns it now, and Google Earth, I can see some equipment that's like freestanding, like permanent fixtures. And it's like old rusty looking shit. I'm like, oh my God, I want to go over there and like set some guns up next to that stuff.
Yeah.
Problem is their driveway access is kind of at a busy road. So I almost be like, I keep telling the wife, I'm like, you should just drop me off and I'll go in with obviously my camera bag, a tripod, and then a rifle bag with a couple of guns. Drop me off at the gate. I'll hop because the gate's just a regular, like, you know, like cattle gate, you know.
Yeah.
Hop right over that and I'll walk back. I mean, it's several hundred yards from the gate. And I'll just go back there and knowing I'll probably get caught because next thing is there's a house. People have nothing to do with the that site, but there's a newly built house. And from their like side yard, backyard, they view over the body of water that you could see. You could see me out there really and truly.
Why don't you reach out to the property owner?
And I have, and absolutely nothing has come back. And the way I look at it is trespassing is honestly, it's a fucking misdemeanor. You know, I'm not that worried about it.
People that owned a house and just knock on the door and said, hey, look, do y'all mind if I go back here and do some photography?
I mean, sure, I could try that. It's not a bad move to even just ask him to try. I mean, what's it going to hurt? But the reality is, though, still, I want to get back there, and I think I could shoot some really cool shots with some of the equipment that's back there because it just looks neat, you know.
Old, I love old rusty equipment, man. I love old rusty anything, you know. But anyhow, so the guy that I bought the macro tubes from, he was a cinematographer in Hollywood.
That's as we said, that's pretty cool.
You know, and so that's kind of how I was going to segue into what I love movies, and you and I have similar and different tastes in movies.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
But what
I've seen a lot, of new ones lately. That's what I was going to touch on was
okay.
Three of them.
Okay.
Most recent one I watched actually just the other night was The Accountant 2.
Oh, is that good?
I enjoyed it. I mean, is it as good as the first one? No. It's very different tonally, but it's entertaining. It's worth your time, I feel like.
Okay.
It's on Prime, so definitely watch that one.
They're doing a Spaceballs 2, by the way.
Yes, I'm skeptical on that. And here's the thing, because the one comedian guy, Josh Glad, I cannot stand him. He doesn't give me high hopes. Because remember, Mel Brooks did authorize A History of the World Part 2.
The TV show.
Yeah, it was on Hulu. And I heard nothing but terrible things. It was just god-awful. And
I watched the first, I think, two or three episodes. And it was... And I'm a huge Mel Brooks fan, and I went into it.
But if he's not actually writing or directing it, if he's just put his name on a producer... It's not really Mel Brooks, and I'm afraid Spaceballs might go the same route, that he might just be – I don't expect them – dude's like, what, I'm pushing 100. I don't expect him to direct it, but by God, he could – hopefully he writes it, you know. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think it's cool. It could be really awesome to do Spaceballs too. I think it should have happened 20 years ago, 30 years ago. But whatever. And he could literally still call it like from the original movie, call it The Quest for More Money. I don't give a shit, you know. I'll reserve judgment, man. It's not until 2027. So, we got a whole other year and a half before that even drops. All right,
well, then I should have kept my mouth shut.
Nah, it's all right. I mean, it's pretty hot new news for Spaceballs 2.
Your second movie.
Wife and I went to theaters and watched Ballerina, the John Wick spinoff.
Okay.
Do you like John Wick movies? Did you enjoy them at all?
You want to be honest?
If you haven't seen them all, it's okay. If you've seen one,
no, I Chad loves them.
Okay.
Chad loves them. So, yeah, I like the first one. Okay. Except, you know, the one part. And to me, it got so far-fetched that I feel like it should have been a superhero movie.
It definitely gets that way. I still enjoy them. I think they're all entertaining. And I'll say, even though this one takes place between John Wick 3, well, it takes place during the time period of John Wick 3. I'll say that.
All right.
What's that?
Is Keanu Reeves in it?
Oh, he's in it. And it's not just a cameo either. He's actually in it. So that was very refreshing and cool. You get to see him being John Wick again, which was really cool. But not like a spoiler thing, but I know what killed people with 3 and 4 in particular. The second one added the bulletproof like jackets, like the suit jackets, which was cool. He had it. Nobody else did. But then you get the third one, it was like almost everybody had it. And you get the fourth one, almost everybody and then some had it. And it's kind of like, I feel what you're saying, like it got very superheroes because everybody just pulls their jacket up, you know, to block all their shots. It was like, oh, come on, man. You can't fucking kill anybody now. This is stupid.
Right.
So you get the ballerina. She's not John Wick. She's not an assassin. She is from the same like ballet house from the third film that he's from. But the only person that has a bulletproof jacket is John Wick. So she kills the shit out of some people. And for being a little girl, I feel like it did a pretty good job of making her either A, use a gun, using a sharp melee weapon, you know, in her environment. It wasn't her just like straight up punching, kicking, and knocking down 200 plus pound dudes, because that just wouldn't happen, because Ana de Armas is like 100 pounds soaking wet. So I felt like it was done pretty well of her kicking ass and getting her ass beat. And she did. She got her ass fucking beat in that movie.
Well, at least they're keeping that reality in check. Candy and I were trying to watch the, do you remember when they did the Lord of the Rings TV show, Amazon?
I know of it. I only know one person I know actually watched it and liked it. So I have not watched it at all. I didn't give it the time of day.
So Candy and I, now I like the Lord of the Rings movies.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The movies are awesome. It's like a perfect trilogy.
So Candy and I decided let's watch it. Let's give it a shot. And it had this little girl. She was, you know, 23, and she was 5'2", and she was 100 pounds. And, you know, it's like these 8 barbarian dudes, like Schwarzenegger from Terminator.
Right.
You know, and I know I'm misremembering some of it. Cause
that's okay.
But she pulls out this little short sword, right? And, I mean, in a blaze of glory, slaughters these barbaric warriors. It doesn't even get a scratch on her.
Yep.
And Candy turns it off.
Yep.
She's like, nope.
Because that shit is dumb. Girl boss, let's say it like this. Girl boss shit sucks.
Yeah.
It's stupid. Yes, we want to see people get the shit kicked out of them. We want to see it be a legitimate fight, and it's not.
Give me a little bit of realism. You know, right? If she won but got beat up a little bit, you know, and had to cheat or whatever, I get it. But for her to just wade through 8 barbarians.
Like it was nothing.
And she didn't even fucking get out of breath. I'm like, okay. I was born in the morning, but it won't this morning. Ray Charles could see that. It's completely impossible.
Right. Anyway. And, without spoiling it, I'll say ballerina. Like I said, she gets her ass beat. The difference is, I'll say, the movie, whether it's realistic or not, she doesn't take many hits to the face. She gets a couple bruises and scrapes on her one cheek. But the rest of her body, though, no. She gets cut, punched, stabbed. I think she might get shot at some point. I don't know. She's pretty beat up by the end of the film. It was good. Now, did she look like she was physically hurting as she should be? No, it's a movie. I mean, you gotta suspend disbelief to a certain degree.
I understand that it's 80% bullshit.
Right, right.
But give me 20% of reality to pull from.
Right. But I don't know. Is the movie, did she have a little plot armor? Sure, of course. She's the fucking star of the movie. So, of course. But was it entertaining? Would I watch it again? Yeah. Dad, yeah, I totally would.
Do you want the popcorn?
Sure, I'll just a handful. Thanks, baby girl.
Okay.
Oh, can I have some of that?
You like the whole bowl.
There you go.
Yeah. Email it to me.
No.
Well, while you're feeding your face, mm-hmm. Candy and I started watching The Bondsman.
Oh, with Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
How is that? I've not watched that yet.
So, did you ever watch Ash versus the Evil Dead?
Yes. Yeah. Unfortunately, I didn't get to finish it before Netflix pulled it.
Okay.
Because that was great.
It's got that vibe.
Okay.
But so maybe
serious but quirky.
Yeah, serious, but quirky. It's she's so cute. It's serious. It's not quite as quirky as Ash versus Evil Dead, okay. But I mean, there's moments in it that you're like, okay. But you know, and right in the first episode, he's a bounty hunter in real life, and he gets killed, and he goes to hell, and then the devil sends him back to the earth to hunt demons.
Ah, okay, they escaped.
They escape hell, and so these demons come and they kill a human like it's evil or a bad person, and you learn all this in the first 10 minutes. So I'm not spoiling anything.
Sure,
they assume their body. And he gets a fax that he's got to go get them. It's
devil uses fax, okay?
Yeah, he gets a fax. I mean, he killed a demon today by pushing a chainsaw through his face.
You can come say hi if you want.
Hi.
What's going on, man?
So what's going on, man? You don't want to say hi, Hunter? Hi.
Yeah, he's too cool to use my name.
Yeah, right. So, how many of you watched of it, Bondsman?
I think we're on the fourth episode.
Okay, so it's kind of worth watching.
It, yeah, I mean it's not bad. It is not bad. It's very campy. Ash versus Evil Dead. Now it's not quite as good as funny because I mean you know you got Bruce Campbell. It's hard to top Bruce Campbell, but it's worth watching. And he uses a 1911. He kills the shit out of demons with a 1911. So I'm like, rock on, Kevin Bacon.
You know, speaking of Kevin Bacon, you do realize he's coming back with a new Tremors thing. Yes, on Netflix. It's like Kevin Bacon Tremors series. I think it's due out this year, I think. I have no idea if it's going to continue on from all the sequels that I've ever seen on the original film. But yes, Kevin Bacon is coming back for a Tremors, like I think it's a short limited series or a series.
I'm gonna tell you the first and second Tremors, I hated he wasn't in the second one.
I only ever saw the first one.
Really?
I think literally because he wasn't in the second one, I was like, nah, I'm out.
Second one was good.
Okay.
Second one was good. The third one was not bad. And then it was like I think it went to Old West days with the fourth one.
And the most current one is like in Africa or some shit.
I have it.
Still has the guy with the guns.
Bruce. Was it Bruce?
I don't know, but it was Reba McEntire's husband in the movie.
Yeah.
From what, Family Ties? I think he was the dad in that show.
That's right.
Yeah. Bert. It was Bert. Yeah, Bert something.
Bert.
Yeah, he's been the star of like all the sequels.
Was in the second one with the guy from Remo Williams.
Yeah.
And then I think the third one, he was the only one of the original cast.
Okay.
So,
people online are already like, oh, if it doesn't pick up after the sequels, this is trash. Or if it doesn't bring Bert into it, this is going to be trash. I'm like, dear God, people, just watch it. Let it be what it is. It might be one of those retcon things where it like ignores all the sequels and this is like the new sequel.
Right.
I don't care. If you can't control it, I don't care anymore.
If it's good, then I'll give it a whirl.
Yeah. That's all I care anymore. It's funny. It doesn't have to be good. It just has to be mediocre. It has to be entertaining. That's all it's got to be. It's entertaining. Entertaining doesn't mean it's good. It just means it was fucking entertaining.
Worth watching.
And The Accountant 2 was entertaining, worth watching. Ballerina was entertaining, worth watching.
Okay.
And so is the last one I watched. This was on Hulu. This was the Predator Killer of Killers. It's a new Predator movie. Familiar with it all? No,
I don't have Hulu.
Well, but have you heard about it? It's new. There is a new Predator movie because there's a new one coming out in theaters in November,
mm-hmm.
and this just dropped. What was it June 6th that dropped on Hulu? It's an animated movie. And it tells three stories of predators. The first one was in Vikings. Second was in like feudal Japan with some samurai. Third one was World War II.
I bet them samurai fucked them up.
The samurai story, in my opinion, was like the best one of the three stories.
Yeah.
Just because, the samurai were, you had one dude was like a ronin, like slash ninja.
Yeah.
You know, the guy was like a samurai, like a samurai master. Like his master died and he basically took the master's mantle. And while the two of them are fighting, the Predator comes in. It was cool. You saw some different weapons from a Predator, different from the previous movies, unless if you watched Prey. And then the third one, World War II one, was probably the weakest of the bunch. The coolest thing for me, though, was that Michael Biehn was in it. So he was Hicks from Aliens, and he's Kyle Reese from The Terminator. So it's just cool that now Michael Biehn can say that he's also one of the select few who's been killed by an alien, a Predator, and a Terminator.
Like Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton and Lance Henriksen. Like I think that's kind of cool. But it's worth watching. Is it like the greatest Predator thing ever? But no, because you'll never top the original film with Schwarzenegger. You just won't. That's a classic, great movie. And I do mean to say it's a great movie. It's not cheesy. It's not corny. It's a great movie.
Sure.
But Killer of Killers is worth your time.
Okay.
If you get a chance to watch that. I know some people are like, I won't watch it because it's animated. Well, you're being dumb because, you know. They made this movie in secret while they're filming the one that comes out this November. And it was like, it just announced, you know, I don't know, a few months beforehand. Oh, here's a new movie. It's animated. It's cool.
They did an animated movie of Dead Space.
I think there's two, actually. I've seen one of them.
Right. Okay, so, yeah, there might be two. The first one. Dude, it was good. Because, you know, I'm out of all the video games ever in the world,
you're Dead Space fan. My favorite. You know, I'll say this. I liked it. But honestly, I think it'd be cooler. And the visual style was more like the game itself. That's the only thing that kind of took me out of it was the visual style was so different from the game. But otherwise, no, I thought it was cool.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's fair. Fair enough.
But yeah, no, Dead Space is cool. Dead Space rocks. So yeah, those things I've watched was Predator, Killer Killers, John Wick Ballerina, and The Accountant 2. All of which are entertaining and worth watching.
There you go.
And they're not some masterpieces, but they're worth watching.
In the sea of bullshit out there, it is certainly good to find stuff.
Absolutely.
You know, that's worth watching. I mean, what they're churning out right now, 90%. I mean,
so much shit.
I enjoyed the first season of The Last of Us.
Oh, yeah. So did I. And I played the game. I didn't finish it, but I enjoyed the first season. It was cool.
The second season, we watched about four. And it just, I don't know what happened, man. I was like, they were phoning it in. And, you know, we had watched the first one, and Kenny and I didn't, you know, speak. She is a little more forgiving than I am.
Okay.
You know, when it comes to a movie, she's a little more, I'm a little more forgiving than she is.
Okay.
So we're like, hey, let's watch it. Let's don't fucking until it's over.
Right.
Suck, right? And I'm like, yeah, I didn't like that either.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, she reads so many books that very few movies measure up to what she likes.
Yeah, no, I totally get that.
You know, I mean, she's smarter than I am. I have no illusions about that.
Books to film, so to speak. On Prime, The Expanse. Have you heard of that?
They're on Jupiter or something?
Well, they're in the belt. You have Earth and Mars, and most of the show takes place on asteroids in the belt.
Is it good?
Yeah. But I've also been reading the book series, and having watched the show and going back and reading the book, no, they did a really good job developing that show from the books. Like, there are little scenes, like the first season, you've got Thomas Jane's in it, and I always like him anyways. He plays as Detective Miller, and he's in his boss's office, and she's like, I forget, she's spraying like water on like a little like bonsai tree or something. And that scene, I was like, oh dear God, it's in the book. And having watched the show first and read the book, I'm reading that scene. And I'm going, oh my God, like they showed everything in that scene. But of course, being it's a show, you saw it in what, 10, 15, maybe 20 seconds.
Right.
As with several pages in the book describing it. But then so you go back and watch it again. I'm like, that is so cool. Like the attention to detail they put into it. Sure. It was that short of a time frame. I was like, totally worth it. Absolutely worth it.
I'll check it out.
It's good. It's only like five seasons, sadly, because there's eight or nine books. I've got five of the books. I'm on the third right now. But yeah, Expanse is worth your time to watch for sure.
I'm on my third roll through of a TV show called Community. Have you ever seen that?
I'm not sure. Keep talking.
It's a comedy. It's about a really kind of a low grade community college, and most of the people there are flunkies, and they're just trying to eke by in life. And it's pretty damn good, man. It's
not familiar with that.
Yeah, you should. I don't know where it's streaming right now. I'll look it up. But yeah, I don't know. It's comedy, but it's very, very well done.
Is it? I'm thinking, is it kind of like Parks and Rec and The Office? No, or maybe not.
No, it's far better than both of them.
That's not telling me anything, but.
But it's not as dry humor. This is like normal.
Okay. Then it's not the show I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of something else.
And then, you know, they develop the characters enough to where you actually give a fuck about them.
Right.
I mean, it's got Chevy Chase in there.
Okay, no, I do know the show. That's what I'm thinking of. I was just thinking it was the same style done like Parks and Rec, where it's like documentary-ish kind of, but maybe it's not filmed that way.
Yeah, not really, man. Okay.
I know that because Chevy Chase being in it.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize like he was in it, and I saw something recently. I'm like, oh, shit, Chevy Chase is in that. Like, I should watch it just because he's in it.
My buddy Jamie's wife had her 50th birthday party this past weekend.
Okay.
And so she invited a bunch of her friends from where she's from. And I met one of the producers of Tropic Thunder.
Oh, no shit. Wasn't the Les Grossman, was it?
But I got a photo, man.
That's a great movie. Dear God. That's like the most modern day Blazing Saddles we've ever had.
So years ago, Linda had said, you know, I went to college with one of the producers of Blazing Saddles. One of the producers of Tropic Thunder. And so.
As a human being.
Yeah, that's him, man. And I fish.
Shit, that movie's from 2008, dude.
Right.
It's that old. Fuck.
Yeah, we're getting old, bro.
So good. No, literally, that is. That was or still is a modern day like Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean.
Oh, and I got a good tip for you, man. So I got an old straw hat I've had. I think this was a Stetson. I've got a Stetson and a Resistol.
Okay.
And I quit wearing it because it was just beat all to hell. Straw gets really weak, and it gets thin and easily pliable and misshapen.
Right.
And so I jumped on ChatGPT, and I'm like, hey, you know, I got this old straw hat. I love it. I love to wear it. I've worn a couple of my videos, but it's so raggedy that I was embarrassed. And so Chat was like, get a towel, roll it up, and shove it in the crown to fill the crown out like you're wearing it.
Okay.
And put four or five good coats of hairspray on it. So I rolled up a towel because it, like the crown was all sunk in and beat. It was awful. And I shoved a towel in and I kind of got it all back filled like it's supposed to. And I put it outside on my porch, man. And I do like a good coat of hairspray and then like I wait 20 minutes. And
I feel like for hairspray, you need like old school, like Aquanet too.
That's exactly what I call my mom. I ain't got none. I'm like, Mom, you got a hairspray? She's like, yeah. And she had a bottle of Aquanet.
Fuck yes.
And I put like five or six coats of that and let it dry. Dude, it brought it back. I mean, look here. I'm wearing it and I was so proud. I was so proud of that. I mean, it's still.
I'm going to set up a show titled Aquanet to the Rescue. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That hat. Okay. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's a little rough around the edges, but I mean, it is infinitely better. So I'm going to start wearing it again. I'm not embarrassed anymore by it. Just beat it. Awesome. You know? So I'm going to start wearing my old straw brim again.
Aquanet to the rescue, man.
Aquanet to the rescue, brother. That's and I was going to go buy another one, but, you know, a good resist-all straw was like $300.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Damn.
I got one resist-all.
I mean, everything really nice is expensive. Let's, I mean.
I got a 7X resist-all silver belly that was like $400. And I bought it from Cavender's Boot City in San Antonio, Texas in probably like 2008. So.
Tropic Thunder came out.
But anyway, that has really been everything. We did some digging out some pond. I think I've gone through about. I photographed a band yesterday. We talk about that.
Well, you and I did today on the phone. We talked about that a little bit.
So my buddy has got a band. It's called Outlier, and they're kind of industrial heavy thrash. And I photographed them today at the Barnes Precision Machine Shop. Then he's got some old manual lathes. Hold on, I'll show you.
Which came from macro photography you were showing earlier.
Yes. I'll show you one of the photos that I did.
You know, if you had this crap on your desktop, we could just do a share screen.
I know.
Well, holding it up.
Well,
and then now you like talk about a photo of like, yep, there's a guy with a brick backdrop and some old machinery in there.
Yeah, it's not
pretty
really
cool looking photo, but.
Well, I can't post it anywhere. Oh, I've got it in Lightroom. Can I share my Lightroom screen?
Sure. I'm assuming so. I don't really know, man.
All right. You want to walk me through this or fuck it?
I have no idea because I don't know what your screen looks like. Do you see? Let me see. Invite. Oh, God.
I got mute, stop cam, settings, present, leave studio.
Okay, that's all the bottom stuff.
It's fine.
Yeah, that's something we'll have to dig around with one time to figure out.
But Lord, sure. It's pretty damn heavy-duty thrash, so they're going to do a show next Saturday in Raleigh. I'm looking forward to it.
That's cool. Thrash. So, you know, when I'm sitting at work working on... No, it's been manuals lately from either the HP15 manual. Yeah, if you look at the HP15 manual. Yeah, how you doing? I did that.
There wasn't a manual in that box.
Are you shitting me?
I don't think so.
There may not have been.
Right there.
Being writer samples, there may not have been if they didn't have them to print yet. Well, I'll make sure I send you one since it's my handiwork.
Please do. Man, you're making me want some popcorn so bad. I bet that's good, ain't it?
It could be a little more fresh, but it's all right.
No. Well, that ain't their fault.
No, you're right. It's not. Here, Tucker, once more. Feeding the dog. So, yeah, between working on HP15 manuals and then updating the P-Series manuals, you know, like 995P, like the 4595P, which isn't even out yet still. Had to build the manual for that and then had to do an update manual for the handguns, the large frame handguns, 4045 and JXP10, because they were just for the old style guns. So I had to update that. So that's been some of the crap I'm working on. When I'm doing that, I turn on a lot of random shit from YouTube. I listen to We Like Shooting. I listen to those guys just because they're buddies. That's like the only podcast I dedicatedly listen to. And beyond that, I just like a lot of random shit because sometimes I can't stand like, I don't want to hear any more gun shit. I don't want to hear any politics shit. You know,
I'm up to here with politics, man.
Oh, dude, yeah. I didn't watch any all weekend. I pick up a little bit like last couple of days at work, and I still don't care. I'm done with it. I found this dude's channel. It's called 12 Spies. I'll put it in the description. Came across as the Beretta M9 Boat Anchor or Bohemian Rhapsody. I was like, what? And dude's video style, like he's definitely into like, I think he said he is a cinematographer himself, like freelance.
It's epic.
It's pretty good style. It definitely has some sci-fi. I don't know how to explain the vibe. You just need to watch it. But he goes to this video just talking about the Beretta M9 though. And I was kind of like, yeah, all right. You know, I've always had an appreciation for the Beretta. I've never owned one. I've got one sitting here, but it's not mine. I would still like to own one at some point in time, just because to me it's like, you know, natural progression from like 1911, you know, Beretta being the high cap $9 plus between Die Hard and Lethal Weapon. Come on, who didn't love the 90s UF? Because those films, I mean, they're just Kelly at work.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? What are you doing with it? Just checking it out for him?
No, a total passion fun project of trying to use a 92F to rebuild and make the comp for the RoboCop Auto 9.
Oh.
Yeah, which was built off 93R, which is a bit different. What's that?
I said, you're into so much weird shit.
It's not weird shit. Dude, it's RoboCop. Come on. Auto 9 is like absolutely badass shit. And why not have it semi-auto as close as possible? So why not? But still, but 92FS, I mean, don't tell me you're just 1911s or die, so you're just like, ah,
I don't like it.
Why not? What's wrong with it?
A, it doesn't have an ejection port.
What?
The whole barrel is the ejection port. I mean, there's no slide at the top.
I mean,
well, look at that.
Leave some slide right there. I mean,
the ejection port is 40 inches long.
Okay.
They mounted the safety on the back of the slide. I hate that.
I don't care for that. That's why I do like the new models now. It's back to being 1911 style thumb, or AKA like the Tauruses. They have it in the thumb.
Right.
I do prefer that. Yeah, I don't care for this up here. But
it's okay, not keep a bad pistol, but it's just what we had in the Marines, and I'm just like, nah, I'd rather have a CZ.
Okay, you didn't go as like total footies expected you to go. I was like, nah, 1911 or die.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if they're like, hey, you can have any other gun or the 1911. First question is, who made the 1911?
T-Sauce. What's wrong with T-Sauce?
I don't think nothing, but you know, oh God, Dave. Let me make a statement here.
Yeah, go for it.
And this is going to ruffle feathers.
For what?
Okay.
It is.
And I don't mean this, but to all you people out there who worship the Rock Island Armory 1911, let me let you in on a little secret. It's a piece of shit. Okay. Now, if you love it, it's fine for a $400 1911, as long as you know what you're getting. I've reviewed them. They ran fine, okay enough. The ergonomics were decent. You know, the mags were trash. The sights were trash. But, you know, I see these Rock Island T-Sauce guys jump on there like, well, my T-Sauce is as good as any other 1911 ever made.
Okay. Well, let me pause you. That's the one caveat I will defend you. I can't stand is don't say it's just as good. Please don't say that. You can enjoy it. You can love it. You can appreciate the money and spend a ton of money, but don't say it's just as good because it's not.
Yeah, it's not. Don't come at me and say this. You know, this my Rock Island, and I had a guy out here. This was a long time ago, and we were doing some reviews, and he was a Rock Island guy, which was fine. You know, for the money, they're fine.
Right.
But he's like, you know, Hunter, we're out here shooting. And I had one of my Dan Wessons out there. I think it was probably the specialist. And we're shooting offhand at, you know, 30 feet, 40 feet. And our groups were very similar. And we went through 100 rounds. And neither gun had any malfunctions.
Right.
And he says something along the lines of, and I'm probably paraphrasing and misremembering, but okay. He goes, you know, my $450 pistol, it's just as good as your $2,000 gun. How does that make you feel? You know, and I looked at him for a minute and I'm like, is that a statement that you want to back up? Absolutely. Here we are. We've been through 100 rounds. And look at
100 whole rounds, 200 boxes of ammo.
Right. Man. He said, your groups and my groups are very similar. You know, we even switch guns and the groups were similar. Accuracy wise, the Dan Wesson, you know, had a bit of an edge, but it wasn't like, you know, this and this.
Right.
It was marginally more accurate, but not night and day. Sure. Accuracy wise, his gun run, mine gun run. And I said, look, man, you know, and I'm not the 1911 guru, but I know a little bit because I've been hanging around 1911 tuner for so long. And I put my hand on his shoulder and I said, brother, you don't even know what you don't know. You know, I mean, I appreciate where you're coming from. Yeah. I appreciate you love your gun and all that. But, you know, it's a cash slide. It's full of mem. You know, I mean, it's a Kimber.
It's a Kimber. And we brought back to Kimber. God damn.
Know, and he's like, you know, he goes, well, Kimbers are like $1,200. I got this gun for like $400. I'm like, yeah, Kimbers should be like $400 or $500.
Okay. Now you're going off another tangent with the Kimber bashing. Let's pause you there. Yeah. If you want to buy a $400, $500 1911, whatever. And yeah, if you're shooting it side by side to somebody else with a higher end gun, and you're getting respectably similar accuracy, that's fine. That's good. The gun should be. You're also talking like 100 rounds. Both guns should be about equal at that point. But at the end of the day, how much is that person who paid that for that $400 gun, are they going to shoot it to the same extent as somebody who buys the higher end one?
Okay, well, no,
where you're literally going to see that true longevity difference.
Okay. Know? Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, is he going to run? It's, you know, he's probably, like I said, he's probably going to run 200 or 300 rounds a year through the gun.
Right. That's it.
You know, and I've got.
His likelihood of running into issue or slim to none because he's never put that much stress on it.
I've probably ran, and I haven't shot the shit out of my specialist, but I'm probably 5,000-6,000 rounds through it, which still ain't anything.
Right.
But I've got 5,000 or 6,000 rounds through it, and I've never cleaned it. I've oiled it occasionally, and I know that, all right, back up. My old gunsmith, Tom Bellevue, this was years ago, we were talking, he pulled out his old Colt Series 70, and he said, hey, man, I've got 250,000 rounds through this slide and frame.
Bloody hell.
And I'm like, oh, come on, Tom. He says, listen to me, because now you remember I told you the story about my father with the Chevrolet van. He'd go out in the morning and shoot a match and reload during the heat of the day. So Bellevue was in on that. So Tom and my father and that crowd, they used to go shoot matches every Saturday, and it'd be a 400-500 round, you know, 1,000 round match. And it would be a several hour affair, and it wasn't one guy running a stage. You had multiple stages. So you were always moving a group. But anyhow, he's like, and then of course now you walk in Tom Bellevue's gunsmith shop and you look to the right and left, and it's pistol trophies. First place, second place, third place, whatever. But he's got a fucking wall of trophies and plaques of matches that he's placed in. And he points, he said, look at all, and I bet there's 50 trophies in there, Dave. I bet there's 70 in there. And he goes, look, every one of these I shot with this Colt.
Right.
He's like, and he goes, everything has been replaced except it was like the slide, the receiver. I think like the hammer and hammer strut was original. You know, he said, I hit 150,000 rounds. He said it was still running, but it didn't have no more lands and grooves in the barrel. Wore the barrel.
Right.
You know, he says, so I put a new barrel in it. But, you know, I mean, you would never do that with a lesser gun.
Right.
I'll never
that's still okay. That's fine. But as long as you know that with what you have and don't say that god awful just as good.
Just as good.
Now it's funny, like the just as good thing though, like okay, so I won't defend it because what was my first semi-auto shotgun? It was a Turkinelli. It was a Benelli M4 clone. I've got 500-600 rounds through it. Not a lot. I hear a lot of guys say they shoot out around 500-600 rounds. But also I bought it because it was cheap. It was like $500. B, I knew it was a Turkinelli, and the Turkish shotguns were known to be hit or miss. Like, they still are, so I'm trying to say they're better. But depends on maybe who's importing. If it's CZ, like their shotguns are Turkish, I wouldn't question that because they're doing their own QC shit.
Right, and they are.
So when you're grabbing just random Turkish shotgun, sure. I went into it knowing this thing could turn into, or probably will turn into, a project gun of me buying Benelli parts and rebuilding it back up as a Benelli.
Which is fine.
That's fine. Yeah, it's fine because I don't care. But I'm certainly not going to go say it's just as good. I've shot the real Benelli M4 before. I've shot one more or less side by side with it. And could I really tell the difference? No. You know, but again, that was just a few rounds. Tell the difference
in 100,000 shells.
Right, right. At some point, it's going to choke up. But now, unfortunately, what did that gun do for me? It was like a new bug biting me for semi-auto shotgun. So what I do? I bought a Langdon Tactical Beretta 1301. So it's slicked up. It's triple the cost, if not quadruple. I don't remember. And it's phenomenal. It's absolutely phenomenal. And I know I can run that thing into the absolute ground before ever having to replace anything on that 1301, yeah. You know, but the Turkinelli, I still like it. I had it out the other weekend and I still shot. It was like, yeah, this thing is still cool. I like the Beretta better, but that's also some just other ergonomic differences that it's newer, you know?
That brings me to a question that I want to ask you. I was somewhere, and I was carrying my little Colt Defender, Combat Elite Defender, and I was with a buddy of mine. He goes, "What do you know?" Guy's a gun guy, and he knows I always carry some cool shit, or I try to, or what I think is cool. Right. He's like, "What are you carrying today?" And I was like, "Oh, I got my little Combat Elite Defender. You know, let me see it and unload, show clear. Here you go." He's like, "Man, this is a $1,500 gun." I'm like, yeah, you know, I mean, it is a U. I got it. I bought it from a buddy.
I'm just a baller. Yeah, it's cool.
So I got like $500 in it. But he gives me this spiel. He goes, "Why don't you buy like a Glock or something to carry? A cheap gun. So if something happens and you got to use it and the police come tag it and you don't ever get it back, then you're not out."
Yeah, I don't disagree with that thought.
Really?
Yeah, we went over this. You get a little drunk last time we talked about it.
Oh, yeah, okay. Maybe I was. And I was like, but I can shoot this better. And I'm more proficient with this. So if something happens, fuck it. I'll buy another $1,500 pistol if I know that this is what I'm more proficient with.
I think it comes down into is, you know, yes, we always label and classify each other and people in everyday life. It's just going to happen. It's whatever. Get over it. I think there are most people that buy really high-end carry pieces like that. Sure, they carry it, but are they truly, carrying it every day, all the time, everywhere they go? I kind of don't think so. I question that.
Okay.
And or B, are they really carrying it like knowing they're going somewhere? Are they going to a bad part of a neighborhood where they, you know, are probably running some shit and carrying that gun, you know? I don't know. I think a lot of people, they buy it because they like the gun. They want the gun. But the reality is they carry. I kind of coined this. I coined it. Me and some guys coined this several years ago called an ESP, your evening side piece, a.k.a. it's like your throwaway gun. It's the one that you'll train with it. You'll use it. You don't really care if that one gets taken away because you use it to save your life. But the one you really care about, you don't want this to go away, you know, so you have the ESP.
Fit Your Arms RAS 47 that I told you about.
Right.
Right now, this moment, and you can verify this. You've been
It's in your bedroom.
It's beside my bed right this moment.
Yeah, I believe it. But you know, I'm just saying, I think most people that carry all day, all the time are carrying something way more generic and common, like say a Glock 19 or something like that, and not the Shadow Systems variant that costs three times as much.
Right.
I'm not saying dudes aren't carrying it, because there are. I mean, I change up between, I have that 365 that I bought, you know, for Sarah to use as her main range gun, but also for her and I both to carry because it's smaller profile. But also I still carry my VP9, I carry my brand new VP9, the F, the full size. I carry my Echelon. I'll change out and carry my CZ-P09, one of three that I have. But same time, dude, I drive not even 10 miles to work.
Right.
I'm going nowhere. Yeah, okay, fine. Do I have to go to the grocery store? Sure. but it's the grocery. Let's talk about the statistical odds of anything happening in the grocery. Yes, anything can happen anywhere. I understand that. You understand that. We all understand that. But still, the actual likelihood of it, it's not that high, you know. But if shit really goes down, do I really want to give those ones guns up? No, it's going to suck and be pissed.
Okay, just get another one.
And see, that's where I think I get what you're saying, but I think a lot of people are going to go, fuck, I don't want to just go get another one. I paid X amount of dollars for that thing. You know, I don't know, man.
You can make more of it.
It just grows on trees, you know.
Well, I mean, fuck, if I had your money, David Kowalka, I'd burn mine.
My money. Yeah, right, dude, whatever.
I've seen your picture of your porch. Fuck, your porch is bigger than my whole house.
Yeah, that's called, that was my other vacation for the year, was building that porch.
Oh, well. It's nice, though.
So, here's another one you're talking, got me thinking about was this. I'm going to share your screen. There we go. Bam. How about this guy? The Smith & Wesson 4506. Familiar with it at all?
Oh, yeah, huh?
That was a yes. You're familiar with it?
Yes, I'm familiar with it. No, I would not carry it. It's fucking hideous.
What? It's
got a slide mounted safety.
Oh, God. All
right. So on the other side, has it got an external extractor?
Yes, it does.
Oh, fucking, I wouldn't have it.
Oh, God. Whatever, dude.
I mean, bro.
I can't do anything with you.
Explain to me, what is the appeal to that? It's a double action, nearly 1911.
It's a DASA.
Right. Okay.
Not just double action. It's not just double action. It's double action, single action.
What are they just considered double action?
Just like a Beretta.
Yeah. Same.
That's single action. That's single action. Oh. Ready. Single action.
I think Berettas are considered double action pistols.
No, it's DASA, double action, single action. Just like SIG 226s, just like HK USPs, just like a Smith 4506.
Well, what is double action only?
Just that shitty
double. No, right. But like, what
is
it?
Which Smith does? They do have some models of these. There, you see your external extractor. They do have some of these that are double action only. They don't have a hammer. It's basically bobbed off, and you get this obnoxious. Whoops! Oh, fucking magazine there, son of a bitch.
Oh, it's got a magazine disconnect. That's
brutal. Yeah, I need to take that out, but I'll shoot enough to deal with it. But no. The double action only models, yeah, they're atrocious. They suck. But this thing, which I can't even, I can. It has a super sweet, short, nice single action. This thing shoots absolutely like a dream. It's absolutely awesome. I've had this thing forever. I bought an 06 used. I liked it because it was the Vic Mackey gun from The Shield. Did you ever watch that show?
Yeah. But do you remember, so The Shield in that fucking movie, in that TV show, He gets holed up by some gangbangers. They're like, give me your gun. He goes, well, I can't because it's tied to my badge, but I'll give you the mag out of it. And then some shit went down, and he shot a guy and killed him because he had one of the pipe. And I said, Eric.
I don't remember that, but okay.
And I'm like, mag disconnect on that pistol.
You can take it out.
Well, I'm sure that he did that.
Vic Mackey, I'm sure he did. He was a bad dude.
Good show, by the way.
Oh, it was a great show.
Except the guy strangled a stray kitty cat. The weird guy, Dutch.
Oh, yeah. When he thought he was becoming a psycho.
He strangled a stray cat.
That really bothered you, didn't it?
Well, I come unfucking glued.
See, I just came out with 12 gauge and just clear him out.
I would fucking, if I walked up on that.
Meaning the cats.
Yeah, I hear you. Let me tell you something. Don't make me pick between a damn kitty cat and a human being.
Oh, I'm sure.
I guarantee told you that motherfucker.
That's me and dogs at that point.
It's toast.
Well, I'm sorry you didn't like this thing.
I dislike it. I like all guns. I just don't like it a lot.
I've always liked this thing. I always thought it was cool when I saw it in occasional movie and show. Just because like a 1911, but different. You know, just maybe because it had that double action capability, it was just kind of cool. But so this thing,
external extractors, man, they make me nervous. They're spring loaded. Got a little spring there.
That's how they're made, man.
I know. Bless your heart.
But so this thing, story to go with this. I forget how it started. My dad ended up buying some 45 to reload. Didn't have a 45. I think he was trying to buy a 1911, like an old like GI style 1911. And everything kept falling through. Couldn't find one the right deal. And he was annoyed that he had all this 45 brass and bullets to load. And he was like, I need a 45. I was like, okay. I was like, what do you want to borrow? He goes, I don't know. He goes, you know, you got a couple 1911s? I was like, well, I got my old school Llama, the first gun I ever bought. I was like, you don't want to buy that one. It's not a real 1911. And he was like, okay. He goes, well, what about the black one you shoot? I was like, well, that's my Metro Arms one. I'm like, no, I shoot that pretty commonly at the time in matches. I was like, you're not borrowing that one. He goes, okay, what's the silver one? I said, oh, it's the Springfield Armory. I bought off a buddy needed some money. And he goes, okay, how about that one? I was like, that one actually needs some work. It doesn't run real great. It needs tuned up a little bit. And he goes, okay, God. He goes, whatever 45 you got. I was like, I got my HK USP. I was like, and you're not borrowing that because I love that thing. And he's like, what the fuck do you have?
Man, daddy.
Well, then I was like, wait a minute. I said, Dad, I said, I got my Vic Mackey gun, the Smith 4506. This thing's awesome. I was like, I haven't shot it forever. I was like, it's not, it's kind of like a 1911. I was like, so you'll dig it for that. And I showed it to him. He was like, oh, yeah, let me borrow that. I was like, all right. He came up here. I sent him packing with that and like 8 magazines I had for it. And he called me up like a day later and he goes, I love this thing. I was like, really? He goes, no, I love this thing. It's awesome. I was like, well, cool. I'm glad you're having fun with it. Enjoy it. He goes, no. You're not getting it back till I die. I was like, okay, fine, man. Like, fair enough. It's yours. Have it. I'm like, Jesus. Now, unfortunately, you see it's in my possession because it died a couple years after that.
So let me ask you this. How long did he have it?
I think it was about 2 years.
What a treasure.
He had it. I think it was. So he dies. We go down to his house, start clearing shit out. Of course, it's like, well, it was after Christmas. It was in January. So it was like Christmas in January. I'm like, oh, Dad, look at all the ammo you loaded us now. It becomes mine. This is great. Yay. This is at least something fun. Take back. Shit ton of 9mm, shit ton of 45. He had a shit ton of 223 that he'd been collecting over the years. And he was shooting regularly too. But I was like, cool. I don't have to spend any ammo money for quite a while. And the 45, I hadn't gotten that much to shoot it. And so finally, it was last week. I brought this thing back out. I was like, yeah, I'm shooting the 4506 because I did try shooting some of his 45s, had some problems with a couple of guns I was running. And I was like, you know what?
What are they like?
Well, I can't tell you. I don't recall. I just know I ran issues and I was like, screw up. I'm not going to mess with it because he loaded all the ammo for this thing. This is the only 45 he had. I was like, so I'll just break this thing out. It's an excuse to get out and shoot it.
There you go.
So I load all my mags up, get ready to shoot it. I'm like, pow, pow, pow. I'm like, the hell was that? Like, magazine out, rack it out, goes to casing. I'm like, let's lock it open. Don't see anything. Okay, screw it. Look down the barrel. No, it's clear. I'm like, all right, that was weird. So the magazine in. Pow, pow, put. I'm like, what the shit is going on here? Rack it out, goes to casing, clear it, looked on the barrel again, make sure it was empty. Nothing was there. I was like, okay. I don't know what the hell he was doing. I mean, he liked to tinker with reloading. I mean, he would load specific nines for one gun, specific nines for another gun. And all of his 9 boxes were all labeled up what the powder was, you know, what the grain was. The 45, no, it's just like an ammo can. Just red 45 lead-coated bullets all just dumped in there. Dude, there's hot loads. There's, like, light loads.
Powder buff.
And there's bunny farts that don't even cycle the action back. I mean, I'm so confident. Me and my buddy Scott, we started trying to shoot it, that you would go bang, 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 bang. Bang, 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 bang. Oh, another magazine. Bang. Bang, 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 bang. I mean, just so bloody inconsistent. I'm like, what the hell were you doing, old man?
Maybe they were rejects and he was he's like, I need to bury these.
I don't know, man. I mean, there's still several hundred of them to the point I'm actually going to get my scale out and weigh each bullet and see what, you know, variances there are. And the ones that are super light, move them off to the side. You know, and see how many I've got. So I'm like, okay, now here's the shit I know I can run and have fun with. And here's the shit that turns into a bolt action because I have no bloody idea.
I'll tell you what my father did. And I'm the only one on the planet that knows this. He's dead now, so it's fine. So my father's favorite rifle was a Sporterized Springfield 1903.
Okay.
And 30-06.
Yep.
And he was so adamant about it not being stolen while it was in his safe, he reloaded three boxes of 30-06 ammo with a triple charge of bullseye.
Holy shit. Okay.
And so, like, when you open his safe, he had little ammo doors or ammo shelves on the door. And all of them were 1911 mags loaded. But the middle shelf had, like, three boxes. And it said match grade 30-06 for 1903 Springfield. Extremely accurate. And he said, there's 60 rounds here, and all 60 of them is a triple charge of fucking bullseye powder, and it loaded like 25,000 short.
Oh my God.
He said, so if somebody steals this rifle, this was the only 30-06 ammo in the safe. They're going to steal this ammo. And as soon as they go to the range, he says, it doesn't matter what box they open and what round they pull out of it, it's going to make it a bomb.
Yeah. Dear God.
He said, I'd rather blow up and kill the sumbitch that stole it than them have it and me get it later.
I mean.
He used bullseye for .45 auto. That's what he loved bullseye. Because a pound of bullseye would go forever.
That's kind of why I got in a tight group.
You know, it's real fast burning powder. Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, and it was like, it was probably, I bet it was, shit, it was probably 25 grains of bullseye in a 30-06 case. And then he loaded it. He's like, I know that's enough, but I'm going to even load it like 20,000 too short because we're going to make sure it's pressure.
Good God.
Yeah. And
speaking of more recent news, did you see one of the co-founders of Hodgson died?
Joel Hodgson sent me an email.
Okay.
And yeah, told me about that. I met him when he was working for RCBS. Super nice guy. But yeah. What else is there? Is there anything else I need to run by you?
I don't know. Is there?
Nothing comes to mind. What did we miss? Have we covered everything you needed to go through?
I mean, it's not about needed to go through. The only thing I had
wanted
do what
or wanted to go through.
I was gonna say this is gaming wise. I've gone back and playing Doom 3.
Which one is that?
How do you explain that one? It's basically, it was the modern remake. Well, God, even the new 2016's remake. Came out in early 2000s.
What's the one where they were mining on Mars and found a portal to hell?
That's probably more like Doom 3. I mean, it's always about Mars and a portal to hell, but that's probably more Doom 3. It was like on Xbox and PC, but
that game was
it was more of a horror survival game than an action game.
I like that.
And it's funny because like it always gets kind of shit on some of the Doom crowd. It's not like the original game. Fuck you. What the hell? Define me the original game to me. Like you play, I still play old school Doom. It's what, 30-some years old. I still play it. And, yeah, it's an action shoot-em-up, but it obviously has horror elements to it. Like, is there jump scares in it? I don't know, maybe. But at the same time, that was, like, the first most super, like, game that drew you in that much. So it's like, you can't complain and say that this game isn't good, because it is. But I bought it for my Switch. Actually, I bought all the Dooms for my Nintendo Switch for, like, $30. And I've been replaying it on there, and I've heard somewhere people are telling me on Facebook it's not the same quality as the original release. I'm like, I'll be honest, it's been long since I played it. I don't care.
Right.
It's good enough that it jump scared me last night a couple times. I'm like, oh shit. Like that caught me off guard. I'm like, yeah, this shit's good. It still looks good. It's still creepy. Eva came out, I was playing it. and she saw a monster. It wasn't an imp, but some of the monsters runs at you, attacks you. And she was like, "Ooh, that's scary looking." I was like, "Yeah, it's pretty cool, isn't it?" Like, it's just good. Like, well, and obviously those guys were always inspired by Aliens, James Cameron's Aliens. So when shit starts breaking loose, the amount of audio coming through, hearing the other Marines shooting and fighting and screaming and yelling.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I don't remember this first time playing it. But again, it's been 20 years since I played this. So hearing that again, I'm like, dude, this is fucking awesome. Like, the atmosphere is still top notch. Like, the downside of the game, it's the shotgun kind of sucks.
That part what sucks?
The shotgun.
Oh.
The shotgun, like, the spread is, like, immediately. Like, it just immediately spreads. And so, like come on, man. Shotguns at close range are absolutely just devastating.
Do you remember Halo?
Oh, yeah.
Remember playing when you had to deal with the flood?
Yes.
With the shotgun.
Was the shit. Was the shit. What's up? In a little bit. Why? Everything good?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, but taking out the flood in Halo with the shotgun, that was a great shotgun gaming moment. Absolutely.
Just blast the undead, like mutated aliens. Halo was an amazing game.
I played the original like when it first came out on PC because I was getting a PC guy, and then missed the second one because it required a certain version of Windows. And then PC fans, we basically got screwed. It went until a couple years ago, they released the Master Chief Collection. So now I've played Halo Reach, Halo, Halo 2, and I'm ready to start playing Halo 3. And playing original Halo, yeah, it's a little dated now, but still, the fun factor and the gunplay, oh, it's still awesome. It's still awesome.
And I'm confident that's a 45 that he's got. And with a telescopic sight, he can zoom in a little bit. You shoot an alien right in the brain.
Like you'd want a 45 with that L. Lobbing that shit in.
Well, I mean, maybe it's 45 plus P plus P plus P plus.
Or 45 super.
Or hell, maybe, what was that, the 460 Roland? Remember Johnny Roland? Okay. The 460 Roland?
I'll give you that one, 460 Roland, okay.
Woof.
Man, that's not, we're talking about movies and shows that sucked, you know, earlier. Apparently the Halo TV show sucked. That was really sad. Sad to hear.
Oh, yeah. I watched The first of the beginning, the beginning of the first episode was good because it had like Master Chief in there, but it really devolved quickly.
Yeah, that's
by the way, for all the people that don't understand what Master Chief means, that's a ranking in the Navy. A lot of people, you know, didn't understand what it meant to be a Master Chief. They're like, what kind of name is that? That's a Navy rank.
Okay, and throw out there, the Halo pistol is a 50. It's 50 cal.
So that would be, what's the, it had to be either 50 Action Express or 50 GI.
Doesn't say that. It says 12.7 by 40 millimeter, 50 Magnum caliber round.
That's the 50 Action Express.
Okay.
So it's the futuristic Desert Eagle.
Right.
All right, I can live with that completely.
Yeah, I'm down with that. That's cool.
I got a Desert Eagle, and I love it.
I don't.
Why?
Okay, so I'm gonna tell you probably because I fractured this wrist, and it probably wasn't healed all the way through, and went out with the buddy to shoot his 50, and I shot one round. It was still two-handed. Shot one round. And I transitioned, shot left-handed to finish the mag off. And I went, I'm done. Never again. I'm like, oh, it fucking hurt so bad in my wrist that it killed me. Because I was like, yeah, I'll get a 50 Eagle one of these days. Not anymore. That's okay. I'm good.
Dude, it is.
I don't need it.
If nothing else, it is a fascinating example of engineering.
I'm not knocking the gun. The gun's amazing and cool. It's a little overused in movies and TV shows anymore, in my opinion.
I mean, even in The Bondsman, this like frumpy Asian girl whips one out. You know,
this and what?
In The Bondsman.
The Bondsman. Okay.
She whips one out and she's doing the old cross finger thing. You know? And I'm like, God,
that shit kills me.
I'm like, oh, I fucking touch that off. Cross. Right. Yeah, it is overused, but
you know, a show that I don't recommend watching on Amazon, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. It's not a remake. It's kind of like its own continuation of the Angelina Jolie Brad Pitt movie.
Okay.
That idea of it was cool. But the story they told, I thought it sucked. But what was cool, I can't remember in the later episodes, but the first episode, there's a pretty big firefight shootout. And it was great to see they were actually using guns with blanks. So you saw real Hollywood muzzle flashes and casings flying out of the guns as they're shooting.
Oh, it wasn't.
And it wasn't all CGI. Yeah. I was like, oh my, this is cool. Unfortunately, it quickly went downhill and turned to shit after that. Yeah. You know, I mean, I get it. When you CG muzzle flashes and bullets and stuff, it makes things faster and cheaper to shoot, making the movie and the show. I get it. But there's so many times where, like, I blank guns don't recoil the same, but guns that don't shoot don't recoil at all. And you see these tiny little girls holding a fucking AK and they're just like this.
Yeah.
You know, pulling the trigger, nothing moves, shoulders aren't moving. They're like, oh, sorry. You know, they keep shooting it. There was a Walking Dead episode that was like that. The girl Carol had an AK and she's up in a tower shooting, covering Rick. And you see at one point she stops and she charges. She's like, oh, sorry, Rick. And just keeps shooting it. I'm like, one, you're not talking over that. Two, he can't hear you far enough away. And three, you're this tiny little thing and you're just like pulling this trigger like it's nothing. I'm like, get out of here. Again, it's a show. It's forgivable to a degree, but it's like,
God. But you should still have, if you want to capture my attention, I'm going to suspend my disbelief. But give me just a modicum of reality.
Something.
Just something to ground it in to go, oh, okay, you know, I get it.
Or maybe know at that point when you have a tiny woman holding a 7.62x39, give her actual blank firing one for that scene.
So she can rock it.
Right. So you see a little bit of actual like shape to her body or something.
Right. I'm tracking.
That's maybe nitpicky, you know.
No, but I get it. I mean, to draw, of course, you know, here's the thing, Dave. Anybody shy of a gun nerd would probably never catch that.
That's where I say is normies. We're not normies. Normies wouldn't catch that. We're the ones that catch that, and it annoys the shit out of me.
Yeah.
You know, we were watching something else. They pulled some guns out and I was like, yeah, that wasn't terrible. It wasn't the best gun handling, but it wasn't bad. And Sarah's just like, you just can't help yourself. Can you? I was like, no.
Yeah. You know, it's hard to, candy's worse than me. Candy's like, she sees a faux pas in a movie with a gun handling. She's like, did you see that? Slide it locked to the rear.
I mean, I can tolerate 80s, 90s movies, at least because they're firing blanks all the time. You know, like Schwarzenegger, pick a Schwarzenegger movie, pick a Van Damme movie. I can tolerate some of their bad stuff you see in there where it's, you know, it's all hip fired. Or Stallone. Stallone is this guy. He's grabbing his fucking wrists. You know, I can forgo a lot of it. Not in later movies of Stallone, but the heyday of Rambo and shit like that, or Demolition Man, Judge Dredd. I can forgo and let a lot of it go. But now when you get the fact that they've gotten more serious about, they're actually like aiming their shit. They're not letting, it's not like, oh, the camera has to be on their face. You know, no, they're like, fuck it. Let the gun be in the way. Let their arms be in the way. Cause they're getting a cool shot with the firearm.
Right.
But then it pans back and they're teacupping it. You're just like, what the fuck? It's like, I don't know.
I always love the old James Bond. You know, he did
the wrist too. Did he?
That's how I shoot. I do. I do like this. You know, or I'll do the overhand grab, and I'm here. So it's kind of a push pull sideways thing. Oh, you know,
so there's my overhand like that.
You know? Yeah, if I'm shooting my handgun over 600 yards, you know, this part, and then I tuck her in. Get that front sight right at my face.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. Full of shit. Story of my life.
That's awesome. Yeah, that covered everything up. I mean, I got one other thing, but I was like, we'll save that for another time.
Alrighty.
FYI, not that it matters to people listening to this on audio wise or whatever, because they'll just see them all in a row, but we're not gonna record next week because I will be out of town all bloody week next week. I've got to go to northeastern Ohio, to Lake Erie, to a POMA writers event. And then I'll be back Wednesday just for the Wednesday evening. POMA.
What is that?
Dude, look it up. I don't know what it stands for. Professional Writers Association.
As famous as I am, why am I not getting invited to this shit?
Are you a POMA member?
What are,
okay, well, that's probably why you're not invited to it. The next one I'm going to, you were invited to, but you told me time-wise in your truck was costing too much, was GunCon.
When is that?
Next Friday and Saturday. Oof. Up in Cleveland. So I got to go from where I am to Northeast Ohio, back down Wednesday, to go Thursday, back to or I'm sorry, Northwest Ohio, Monday, Tuesday, home Wednesday, Thursday, back up now to Northeast Ohio for GunCon for Thursday, Friday. We'll go up Thursday, do the event Friday, Saturday, come home Saturday night.
If I were to do a GunCon, say next year, can I bring my own guns too and shoot them or no?
No. You come to shoot stuff that I bring as a manufacturer.
Right, but like, why couldn't I bring like my gun?
Because you're there to shoot the manufacturer's guns.
Okay.
It's like a SHOT Show range day, but not so chaotic. So you get to see the stuff, you get to actually talk more and shoot more. Whereas, like, you know, what range day, you get like what, a magazine from a gun and then they're moving you along.
That's a question.
Okay.
I went to range day at SHOT, I think, once.
Okay.
And I was like, well, I'm not doing that anymore.
Well, this is a way more cooler atmosphere. Like, it's only the writers' media. Like, in years past, pretty much it's kind of like what I feel like is they'll come down in each area, shoot whatever they want to shoot from however many manufacturers are in a bay. And then after they've shot the stuff, they'll come back around, shoot it again, talk to you, maybe shoot some content. You know, it's pretty cool. It's a good little event.
I should probably have made that, shouldn't I?
I mean, I've been telling you to make it since year one, but, you know, that's all right.
Well, I'll go next year, I promise.
It was in Iowa the first 2 years. That's up in Cleveland this year. I think John said, I think he already said he's doing the same range this year as for next year, which is in Garrettsville. But then the venue itself on Saturday with the public is, I think he's going to try and find somewhere different, I think. But it's a good, which at that point, so Friday, the range day, it's only for manufacturers and media. Then Saturday, he's got a lot of the media do actual like panels where the audience can talk and ask questions. It's like they can ask you, Hunter Elliott, why are you a FUD? You know, they can ask shit like that. Or what's your favorite carry gun? You know, why is it your favorite carry gun? What's your favorite carry gun? Why, Hunter Elliott? Or the whole panel. But then obviously the public is also there. They get to walk around. I'll have a table set up. We'll have like what's hot and new.
Are you bringing an AR?
Yeah, the HP-15's there. Yeah.
Nice.
So that's where most everybody's going to get their first hands-on is there at that event, just because it's next weekend. So.
To quote your father, by the way, I'm going to quote your father here again. Speaking of the High Point HP-15, you're not getting this back. So if you want to send me a bill, send me a bill, but you're not getting it back.
I'm glad you're enjoying it already then.
Yeah. I like it whole bunches. So didn't mean to interrupt you, but that made me remember to remind you.
No, that's funny. That's all good. That's good. That's a good way to close it out. You're keeping HP 15.
Yes.
All right.
And it's not for sale. So no, you can't buy it. It's for me.
Got it.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
All right. Fucking A right.
All right. Anybody listening at this point, this is our 16th episode. You know where to find us.
God. Amazing.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Say goodbye, Hunter.
Goodbye, Hunter.
Peace.
Later.